Hey, Bud Manning here. Welcome to Dome Theory 102. Kobe Price rejoining us as the Celtics conclude their miniseries with the Magic today. It's a fun layer to the NBA season now. You can talk about these teams in between games here. Love it for the purpose of this podcast. And Kobe, always a great guest. Magic on a roll, 5-game winning streak coming into today. We'll talk about their outlook, whether they'll get in the play-in mix, whether they'll go back to the lottery. Still a lot of guys out in this roster as they stun the Celtics on Friday. And I continue to be impressed by them. They're one of these up-and-coming teams that I really love. So we'll, of course, start with Bol Bol and then go from there with Kobe. Of course, we are brought to you by, as we always are, betonline.ag. Their new sleek website gives you options to bet on anything from NBA, NHL, futures in football, playoffs coming up. That's really the big one right now. World Cup's about to end. Great experience betting there on that. Ton of stuff when you think of the last month or so here. Winding down a little bit when you think of football and the World Cup together. But NFL playoffs going to be the biggest time to bet, period. And BetOnline is the perfect place for all your stats, info, live odds. You can pretty much get anything at BetOnline, whether it's golf, MMA, anything you can imagine is over there. And you can get 50% back on your first deposit when you go to betonline.ag and use the code CLNS50 when you sign up. That's betonline.ag, CLNS50. Make sure you use that code to let them know we sent you. And of course, I am just always on that website checking out odds, futures, and more. Information even. You can go over there and find MVP odds. Who's going to win the East? Who's going to win the finals? All that's available over at betonline.ag where the game starts. Of course, other great sponsors, athleticgreens.com/garden. You're going to get 5 free travel packs and a year's supply of vitamin D when you head over there. What is it? It's vitamins, minerals, probiotics, adaptogens, pretty much everything your body needs in one powder. Whole food sourced in your water each morning gives you a nice energetic boost. And when you head over there, you're going to get that immune-boosting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs. That's athleticgreens.com/garden. Rocket Money, new to CLNS. Not new to us, though. They always have used their app to see what I'm subscribed to. No, most people don't know. They'll sign up for free trials. It signs them back up, maybe even at a bigger price. But you can go on Rocket Money and cancel them. See what they'll offer you if you're going to threaten to cancel. And maybe keep it at that lower rate. One of the things people don't realize with these subscriptions is they'll try to keep you. So that's rocketmoney.com/garden. Head over there for help with your finances, really. A lot of great tools on that app. And calm.com/garden gets you 40% off a premium subscription when you head over there. That's calm.com/garden. Just got back from the West Coast trip. A lot of fun out there. Was up in Maine. I guess I've been everywhere this last week or so. And a couple of off days coming up here for some podcasts, which I'm excited about. Pacers coming back to town. Think we'll get Caitlin Cooper back on the podcast, see how they're doing, because they are 500, shockingly. One of these teams that you didn't expect to be in the mix that are, although they've been on the downtrend a little bit lately. And then, of course, Christmas. 7 days away now? Yeah. Celtics-Bucks, finally. I think we'll like to talk to Eric Nem as well ahead of that. But for now, Kobe Price. Always enjoy talking to him. Magic Celtics, 3 o'clock today. We'll have post-game. And more to come here on Dome Theory. Subscribe, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and more. Here he is. Dome Theory 102, Kobe Price, Orlando Sentinel. Right now. Yeah, there we go. We're off this time for real. Welcome to Dome Theory. Bobby Manning here. Kobe Price by my side from the Orlando Sentinel. In Boston, as the Celtics prepare to have a rematch with the Magic, and what ended up being one of the more shocking results early this season, the Celtics fully healthy. Everybody intact. Robert Williams coming back. He expected some awkwardness there, but also a big scene at the Garden. That place was rocking, Kobe. They really want to get up on their feet. Go crazy for Rob's return. Gave them a few moments, but otherwise, the Magic took the lead in the first quarter, held on there throughout, great shot making, awesome defense against the what had been the best offense in the league coming into this week. Now, all of a sudden, Celtics hitting their first little bout with adversity here, and the Magic starting to hit a stride over the last week or two here. So we talked back in October. I think we both had a lot of fun watching the first time these two teams played, and the Magic played them tough again. Is this just a good matchup for Orlando in terms of the personnel they have to be able to slow the Celtics here?
Yeah, you know, I guess it's weird because right now, the team that the Magic have right now is not the same team they had back when the first played. So I was like, the first game who played, you know, Cole Anthony was available. I guess Cole was available in both games, but, you know, Jalen would just got hurt, but Markel wasn't playing. Chuma was available, and now he's not available. But now Wendell was available, but now he's not available. But Mobagi is available now, and Bol Bol's starting now. So it's just like a whole lot of, like Paulo, Franz, and even, I guess, Cole, but now he started in the first game. Now he's coming off the bench. Like, there's been a whole lot of changes for this team. But even with that, I think just how defensive minded they are, and like they're starting to get a better grasp of like the defensive changes that had to undergo or with Wendell out, I think they're starting to figure it out. And I think that's what's allowed them to play, you know, reasonably well against the Celtics, you know, in the loss early season, even what was that, Friday?
Yeah, it was a weird game. You're right. It's funny how guys are just flying in and out of this Magic lineup for another year here. And they're finding a way to make it work. Markel Fultz, awesome in that second half. Nice to see some flashes from him. You had Cole doing his thing. But Mo and Franz Wagner, that was fun. Obviously, Mo Wagner was with the Celtics for a minute in 2021. Didn't do much. They ended up keeping Luke Kornet over him and waving him to bring in Jabari Parker, if I remember that right. And then he ended up in Orlando, I think, next team right after that. And Bol Bol, same deal. In Boston for like a second. Doesn't actually play. Lands in Orlando. I know we were both excited about him and the things he did off the bench in that first game between these two. And now he's starting. It wasn't really his best game last night or two nights ago, whenever that was now. But grab some boards. Make some things tough. And he's been dazzling throughout this season. I got to talk to him after the game and I asked him, is he seeing like all these people sharing his highlights and, you know, getting all this extra attention? Because he was obviously a guy who came off the bench with the Nuggets, didn't play in Boston, and had a pretty slow start to his career. And now he's just breaking out in this crazy way. And he's like, I don't care about the media and all that stuff. Like, he just isn't paying attention to all the hype around him. But this is a guy probably more than anyone else on this roster right now who has people looking at the Magic and being like, all right, what's going on? Like, is he the guy that people ask you about more than anyone?
Bol is probably Paulo still, to be honest, and Bol like a solid second. I think people really marvel at Bol, just the things he's able to do at that size and length and skill level, the handle, the shooting, the shot making, shot creation, just a whole lot of there with him. I get the most questions about Paulo to this day, even with like when Bol was like at his, I don't know, when he really starts to first get rolling and when he jumps to the starting lineup and he starts to like pull out these moves night in and night out, before people started to get real familiar with it, it was more like, what's going on with Bol? Like, what's he doing? But even throughout all of it, especially since Paulo's come back, it's been a lot more Paulo talk than anybody else.
So what are you starting to think he can become here? So he's on this two-year deal with Orlando, shooting 41% from three, not a ton of attempts, but solid, 60% from the field, almost two blocks a game, 12 points in 26 minutes, which is solid as a secondary scorer there. And he's okay at the free throw line, good rebounding, and just obviously so much skill at that position. Starting to put together a healthy season, which you hope he can maintain. 16-10 per 36, which is awesome. What could you potentially see him becoming at his peak, in his prime, if he's going to stick with the Magic here and really grow with this core?
Yeah, it feels kind of limitless, because even within the season, what's it been? This was just game 30. So I think he's one of hope you hear that. What, Franz Wagner and Bol Bol are one of two players to play all 30 games.
Did Franz hit 82 last year?
He did not, and that's why I'm not going to ask. I guess I can speak on it, because so it's weird. It was the day he got to like 78, I want to say, it was the shoot around before game 78. We were talking to him about this very thing, like, oh, like it'd be really cool for you, you know, be a rookie, play all 82, yada yada yada. That game, so that was in the whatever morning. That game, he sprained his ankle that night. And then he played it. So he played that game. He played 79. I think he tried to play another game and just didn't work out. So that's why he didn't play 82. And sports writers jinx, right? Because we asked him about it that morning. And then whatever, 8 hours later, he sprains his ankle and missed the rest of the season.
Got to 79. Can you name the five guys who played 82 last year?
Sadiq Bey, Kevon Looney, Eric Bledsoe didn't play all of them because he was on pace for it. Then he got traded and that got messed up.
Mikael Bridges. Got Bay, Looney, Mikael Bridges.
I'm blanking on the other two.
Dwight Powell and five guys.
Dwight Powell and who?
Denny Avdia with the
Yes, I blanked on him. The only reason I remember this list is because last year I was looking at it too much. I was like, oh, would Franz be one of eight, one of seven, whatever, one of six?
And then, that shit. I let me see, like 20, let's say 2010, how many guys played 82. Guessing it's double that, I'd imagine. There are a lot. Holy crap. Yeah, well over double that. I'm going to count this real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, ooh, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36. 36 players off a quick count in 2010 played 82 games. And that just doesn't exist anymore.
Wow. Well, again, I'll knock on wood. Magic have two players at least on pace to do so right now. So, but and that's one. All that to say, we're talking about Bull. I'm what he can be. Even within, I would say like every 10 or so games, he shows something different. Like the first 10 games, seven, eight, 10 games, he was showing a lot. Just like those quick hitters, you know, he's, you know, really taking advantage of himself on the baseline and getting out transition. Then the shot making, shot creating starts to come in, and now he's showing a little bit more passion flashes. Than I thought he was going to show at this point. So he's continuing to develop, you know, in real time. So I think there's limitless, especially offensively. Defensively, where I want to see, I guess, a little bit more, not production, but a little bit more aptitude. You know, sometimes at that height and that size, especially sometimes being more perimeter base, he can get, guys can get by him pretty easily. So. But he's really developing very well. And I think, you know, if you look at whatever this is game, best would be game 31, look at game 71, I think we're going to see a different Bull at that point than we even see right now.
Yeah, and it's amazing the fact that he's doing all this after a year where he didn't play. And I guess he had the off season where he's able to watch a lot of film and stuff like that and see the different points he wanted to improve on. But you don't expect a guy to make a leap after missing pretty much a year of basketball as he did last year, which is what makes it even more extraordinary. And you're going to have the people who are looking at what he's doing down there and being like, man, the Celtics could have had him. They let him go, blah, 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 which is probably true to some degree. I'm sure there were multiple ways. I haven't thought about it, but there were probably multiple ways that the Celtics could have gotten under the tax. And the easiest at the time was trading Bol and PJ Dozier, who I don't think he's back in the league yet. He was a solid bench player, but trade both of them down to Orlando. Orlando cuts Dozier, keeps Bol. If the Celtics kept sinking maybe last year, you hold on to him. And I remember when they first got him from Denver, I was like, all right, this could be like a second draft guy. Like, didn't work in Denver. Give him another chance in Boston. See how it goes. Orlando did instead. They're the rebuilding team here. Detroit actually is the team that probably has to look at him and be like, man, what could have been? Because my friend reminded me of this. I was out in L.A. He's a Pistons fan. The Pistons actually traded for him the last deadline, and the physical didn't go through. They didn't like the foot. He ends up getting surgery after that, and that's what knocked him out for the year. But they were about to get Bol Bol for, I think, Rodney Magruder, which, I mean, Bol would have fit right in with what the Pistons are doing, not to mention get playing time and all that.
Yeah, that's the one. I think it was I forget, it was either beat writer for the Pistons or the beat writer for the Nuggets who brought that up. Because, yeah, he was, you know, Ball was set to go to Detroit. And you kind of see where Detroit's at right now, especially when you compare it to Orlando. They're similar places in terms of, you know, trying to, you know, they're trying to ascend. They're, you know, they're in the midst of these roster restoration, rebuilding, whatever you want to call it. And he would have I definitely think Ball would have got playing time over there. Now, it's maybe a little different, I guess. Both Detroit and Orlando have a lot of other front court guys. So if you just want to make it fit, you find a way for Ball to get playing time. But, yeah, I mean, he's found a place in Orlando that's invested in him, invested in his growth, invested in his, you know, his development. And they're, you know, I think even you talk with Jamal, you talk with, you know, Jeff, you know, they even say, like, he's showing, like, he's just continuing to show different things. He hasn't, like, the other thing is, forget last year, like, he hasn't played a lot of NBA basketball, even before last season. Like, he's, I don't have the numbers right now in front of me. I'll try to bring them up, but he just didn't play a lot. That's the other thing about Bull. Like, he was drafted, what, 2019? He played 7 minutes his rookie year. And most of that, or a decent amount of that, came in the bubble. He played 37 games of rookie season, 32 games his second season, and then only averaging 5 minutes. And then, you know, he played 14 games last season and only averaged 5.8 minutes. So, you know, you add that up, you're only playing 328 minutes in three seasons. That's nothing real. He's already doubled that in 30 games with the Magic at 798. So it's just, we haven't seen a lot of Bull, you know, across the three previous seasons either.
Yeah, you haven't. And that's what makes it even more stunning right now. It's remarkable what he's doing. I do want to circle back to the Magic by the end of the show, but Celtics, they're hitting a skid here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know whether to panic and start sounding alarms. But last four games, they are last in offense, which is unbelievable when you think of what they were doing to start the year on that end. Warriors loss. They hit a wall, ran into some issues of stagnancy, turnovers, shot selection, whatever you want to talk about out of that game where it looked like what they did in the finals against them. And then it carried over to the Clippers. That Lakers game probably should have been a loss, if not for that miraculous turnaround there at the end on the West Coast trip that we covered out there. And Magic rounded out with a loss there where, again, just such a weird game. Like, the crowd was spilling out of the place at the beginning of the fourth. Like I said, everyone's trying to get up on their feet and get going, but the Celtics are just giving them nothing to cheer about. Poor shooting. I think they start 3 of 5 from three and finish 8 of 41. And you know, Tatum can't get going. Rob has his little run, ends up out with foul trouble. And Horford gets ejected, which was probably the weirdest part of it all, for like swinging his elbow at Mo Wagner. What's going on with the Celtics right now, from your view, in the, you know, little you've caught of them over the last week and this last game specifically?
Yeah, so of the games that you mentioned, I caught most of, if not, I think all of that Warriors game. What was that? That was in San Francisco. Yeah, it was on the West Coast swing. I caught a little bit of the Lakers, Celtics, and then obviously I was in the building for Magic, Celtics, and especially in the the Warriors game, it was kind of alarming because that was right after they beat, like, they dominated Phoenix. It was just alarming just how stagnant they were. So they were very, before that, whenever I watched them, they were very free-flowing. They were playing with this great pace, and not just like, not, I don't mean pace of like shot, quick shots, but just they were moving well. And it felt very like this, your guys are kind of taking a step back to what you look like. I remember what you guys look like in the finals. So I watched that game just kind of like, all right, so maybe the Warriors have the Celtics number. Like, maybe they figure something out and they know how to defend these guys. But to see that even against the Magic on, what was that, Friday? It was strange. Granted, the Celtics did miss a lot of great shots. Like, even Mo Wagner, post-game, he admitted that they probably got lucky on some of the misses. There's one in particular, the Malcolm Brogdon just dead-on three-point shot that just, I think, came up short. And that's the other thing. Like, a lot of their shots, I think, were coming up short. The Celtics, that is. A lot of the looks from beyond the arc were coming up short. So I'm not sure if they're tired or their legs are a little shot right now, especially after the West Coast swing. But they're not playing. They don't have to. They seem to not have this consistently have the same energy that I recognized from them, especially that first game that we caught in Orlando, and even the games I've seen since then compared to what I saw on Friday.
Yeah, this is a conversation we had all last year at certain points. This just always seems to be in them. And it wasn't for the first, let's say, 20-ish games or so, maybe a little more than that. Like, they had been so consistent on the offensive end. The shooting was so constantly there that you wonder if they were just going to be able to keep this run rolling and just tear through the league and be that team that the Warriors were there. They looked a little bit unstoppable and ahead of the pack. I was always skeptical of that just because of where their offense was coming from. I mean, they were shooting half their shots from three from the field. They still are. They, you know, shoot 61% of their attempts from three in the first half of this Magic game. And so they're so reliant on it. I'm sure you've run into this covering the league, Kobe, is there'll be nights, especially in this modern three-point era, where a team shoots terrible from three. They take a ton of shots from there. They're ice cold. They, you know, shoot 25% from three, and they just go, oh, we like their looks. You know, you got to shoot the open ones, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's just a constant refrain in the league now. You hear it from the Celtics, too. But if you're going to be one of these teams that, I don't want to say lives and dies by the three, but it's just a crux of your offense. We've seen it with the Rockets. We've seen it with the Bucks, certain Bucks teams. We've seen it with a couple of different teams over the last 5-6 years here, where if you're super reliant on the three, you go cold and you sense that early in a game and you have nowhere else to go, you're probably going to lose. And that's exactly what this game was. And I think the Clippers game and a handful of games recently for the Celtics, who were just really coming back down their ass from three. I mean, they were shooting 40% as a team to start this year. And you knew it wasn't going to last, but you didn't know what it was going to look like when it came down. And right now, it doesn't look great. Like, they don't have a lot of guys that can get great looks at the rim. They're not going to shoot a ton of mid-rangers outside of Jaylen Brown. So when you're cold from three, if you're the Celtics, I don't know where you go.
Yeah, I think for them, it's tough because, like I said, you are creating, you know, they are creating decent looks. I didn't feel, even watching the game, I didn't feel like, oh, the Celtics are, like, quote-unquote forcing it.
Yeah.
Some of it, you do wonder, like, are they taking especially with the team like the Magic, like there were some shots where they were so open because the Magic are just very much we're not allowing a lot in the paint. We're going to protect the paint at all costs. And like, we'll let you get those outside shots kind of as they come, but they're getting decent looks. So, but you know, it's like, you knew the, whatever the 40% where they were shooting before was sustainable, but to go from 40, which you're not normally used to 24, that's not a sustainable either. So even if they get to in the middle, then maybe that game looks different. And maybe that's their attitude. Like, they're going to take the long game with this in terms of, like, we're not going to shoot 40, 45% for the season, but we're not going to shoot 24 either. But we have to, like, keep riding this process because of the team that they are. Like you said, they're not going to take a whole lot of mid-range shots outside of Brown and maybe, you know, when Tatum gets it going when it happens. But that's just, I guess, to the extent you kind of have to like ride that wave out. And just if you go to the middle, most nights with the performance like that, at least offensively, most nights that offensive performance will win you game if you shoot in the middle. Defensively, it was kind of alarming, especially playing against a team like the Magic.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the Magic they didn't shoot too well either. You know, they shot under 30% from three, but they still shot 47% from the field, still got inside the paint. And they had their shot creators knocking down shots as well. You brought up Markel, brought up Cole. They were doing, you know, they're getting busy from the mid range. But that was something that was even more alarming to me. It seemed like the Magic were flowing pretty well, especially against a team who supposed to compete at the top of the East.
Yeah, and that's the other thing we've seen from Boston at certain times is the defense lapse. It's been all over the place. And I guess it's a good time to talk about Rob's return. He made an impact when he was in there. Didn't get to play a ton. You expected that. 17 minutes, though. If you told me going in he was going to play 17 solid minutes, I would have been happy with it. But he hits the foul trouble early. Second half, he goes on this great run in the third, where they're honestly pretty disruptive. Yeah, like, I'll agree with you. Fourth quarter, especially, Celtics got lit up. Third quarter, they went on a little bit of a run there, got within 10 or so. Off like five blocks and turnovers in the lane, and then Rob comes in and they keep that run going for a little bit there, where he throws down the alley-oop and the putback on Brown's layup, and he looks pretty solid. You know, you got the conditioning issues that you're going to expect there, but you know, he hits all four shots, five rebounds, an assist, steal, and a block. He looked like Rob, is what I'll say. Like, you didn't look at him and be like, man, the burst isn't there, and like he just isn't getting up and down the floor well. He looks like Rob plus some fatigue, and that's solid for December 18th. I didn't expect him to be back before New Year's when the season started. So he comes back in 12 weeks, as they expected with the surgery here, and he threw down an alley-oop right away where this great picture of all the Magic just, like, staring up at him. Like, he's still Rob. He's still mesmerizing to watch. The crowd went crazy when he checked into the game. Like, Boston just loves him at this point after the run he went on last year. And honestly, the Celtics, they're a pretty fun team to watch again after some of the weird offense of the last few years. But when he's out there, they become one of the most fun teams to watch, period. Just because of how invigorating his game is, whether it's the blocks or the alley-oops he's catching on the other end. He's just so much fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I was honestly surprised just by how he was spry.
Yeah.
He brought a lot of energy. Like, I honestly, so you mentioned that third quarter, because it was weird. After Al Horford got ejected, I think that's when the Magic made their run to go about like 19. And I think is when Rob came into the game, I don't like mid of the third quarter, maybe you got kind of, because I think him and Brogdon came in at the same time in that third quarter. And I think when he came in, like, he gave them that spark that they needed to just like whittle away at that lead even more and brought it down to whatever it was, like 9 or 8, the lowest of the third. And that's when, like, that was big for them. I don't know what they do in that game without the energy he brought, without the energy, the intensity. Like, they also just lacked that from what I saw last night. And he's going to be, in terms of bringing that consistently, especially on the interior, he's going to be huge for them. I mean, we saw how big he was for them last season. And even in the glimpses that he played in, 17 minutes, you can tell that he's going to bring that again for them. And maybe that will help shore up some of their issues, because you bring a different dimension. You bring that verticality at the rim on both ends that they'll probably need just if they're trying to make another run in the East.
Yeah, for sure. And he did change some things defensively when he was in there. He gets the block, but there were a few shots he really altered inside. And that was his power in the finals, too. If you go back and watch the finals, every time the Warriors drove on him, they were probably missing. But they got a lot of putbacks and stuff after that made them get through those minutes. So he's a menace in the middle. He's a huge piece to offensive spacing. Like, they did some cool things where guys were running off ball screens and he was rolling. When he's really in the mix offensively and knows what they're doing, because their offense is a little bit different this year, he's going to change things a lot. You just hope that he can play night in and night out, even if it is 17 to 25 minutes off the bench. Like, that'll be a real impact, especially since they've had this great unit that basically killing teams with Brogdon, as you mentioned, and Hauser's cooled off a little bit, but to start the year, he was a big part of that, and they have some other centers in the mix that they can use to get him a night off here or there, too, if he needs it. So just getting him back at this point in the season, huge. So I'm excited about that. No Tatum today, so we'll see how that goes. Brown's going to have to step up. Is Jaylen... Jaylen's had a weird season. I get a lot of crap when I pointed out that he's been a little inconsistent here, but 7 turnovers in that game, scores well. He can score at will, almost, it feels like, at this point. But right there with Tatum in scoring, his efficiency has been great. He's got that mid-range shot, as we talked about. The free throws, 8 of 10. They've been a big area of progress from this year. I think in terms of great scorers, he was one of the worst free throw shooters in the league, and now he's been steady from that spot. So a lot of improvement from Brown to start this year. But defensively, I feel like, you know, you talk about the inconsistency for this team defensively. It's on him a lot of the time, I feel like. Like, his off-ball defense wanes. He's one of those guys that if he can lock in on a guy, he's going to have a huge night. But they do a lot of switching, and there's a lot of handoffs and communication in the system they run. I think that gives him some trouble sometimes. So he has a weird game in this one, but you're looking at his season, he's in the mix for all NBA, it feels like. And head of his free agency, that's going to make him a Supermax guy, that they could sign a Supermax extension if he's all NBA this year. And I'm going through some of the names. It's going to be interesting when you look at your Siakams and your LeBrons and some of these forwards who are, you know, not quite healthy enough. Zion's in this camp too, I think. But if those guys settle down and Brown keeps scoring at this level, it's going to be a pretty packed race for, let's say, third team All-NBA. But Brown, to me, he's in that mix. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, he should be in the mix. And I guess you kind of have to consider him this season compared to last season as a front court player, at least up to this point, as opposed to back court, because of how the Celtics have started. I guess you can kind of – I can imagine he'll be a guy who can go in either slot, back court or front court, for All-NBA.
Well, you don't want to be back court. There are a million guards.
Yeah, I think – yeah, because that's how they do it for All-NBA. Or is it just guards, forwards, centers? Yeah, it's guards
forward, centers, yeah.
Yeah, so he should be eligible at front court, back court is all-star. Guards, forwards, center for All-NBA. He should be eligible for guards and forwards, which will help him in terms of – I guess options. I think more people will go with him as a forward.
That's how they voted him last year. And he is a forward. He's playing forward for them.
Yeah. And I think, you know, think about the fours. I mean, you mentioned Pascal, Zion, LeBron.
Tatum and Giannis should be locks.
Durant's
a relative lock.
Who else?
You said Zion LeBron. Will be there if he's healthy. There's no, I mean, he's scoring 35 showing up right now. And then, like you said, you got your Pascals, LeBrons, Markkanen maybe gets in that mix, although he's another guy who's on the fringe of it. DeRozan's always kind of floating around there.
Yeah. Jimmy.
That's another guy, health permitting.
Yeah, he's back in the fold. You got Jimmy. You mentioned Pascal. Yeah, I mean, Jalen's definitely in there, and that makes. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with honestly, like either the main guys out of LA, with the Clippers. I guess Paul George would lead the way in terms of All-NBA contention, but even that seems kind of So yeah, and then always weird with how you vote this guy, but Luka, I mean. Probably go guard with him, but it seems like every single year there's always a debate about like, is he a guard? He's a forward. Yeah. But I think I would lean more guard personally. But yeah, Jalen's in the mix.
Yeah, he's going to need a break for sure when you think of some of those names, especially past guys who have been there, George, LeBron. Like, if those guys are close, they probably get the benefit of the doubt. But also, you got the winning in Brown's case for whatever that. Adds him like versus LeBron. I don't know if Ron and Brown have similar seasons. It's gonna be a tough one if the Lakers are in the play-in or worse, and the Celtics are the one seed in the East. So I don't know how that all balances out. But again, so key, you can offer him $300 million this summer if he makes All NBA, and that's gonna be hard to pass up if you're him. Like I know people have kicked around. Oh, is he gonna stay? Is him and Tatum compatible? Is he gonna want his own thing? They offer him $300 million. I don't know this. I'm not reporting this, but it's going to be hard for him to pass up.
I didn't realize it got that high. Oh, yeah. My God.
So let me actually pull that up. So this is what his contract will look like if he makes All-NBA this season. This is from the good people at Spotrac. I believe the contract would start at – $42 million, I want to say. I'm going to pull it up right now. All-NBA, he's going to make $290 million total. Starting at $50 million in 24-25, $54 million the following year, $58-62, with probably a $66 million player option.
Yeah, I just pulled it up on my screen. That is, yeah, that's serious. I didn't realize.
That's like one of those John Wall, Russell Westbrook style extensions. And Tatum will get one shortly after. Pretty much the same value.
Yeah, I mean, so granted, this will look better once the new CBA kicks in. Not better. It won't look as
staggering.
Staggering once the new CBA kicks in. But that's serious. Yeah, I didn't realize. I mean, it's a start if he makes All NBA for the designated veteran. Yeah, that is serious. But yeah, so that makes the season a pretty significant one for him. But he'll be in the mix. Even if he continues at this rate, like the turnovers are up. I saw he's averaging what, over 3 a game for the first time in his career. But the defense, to me, the defense has been, especially off the ball, has been an up and down thing with him for a while. But even with that, just the offensive production and the efficiency, like, that's going to put him in the mix. And especially on a winning team, but as of today, they're still the one seed. I believe even after Milwaukee won last night.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Tied in the loss column.
Right. So even with that, like he's going to be in the conversation. He'll be behind Tatum just because Tatum's been better. He'll be behind Giannis because Giannis is, you could argue, the best player in the league, probably behind Durant. But after you get past that tier, it opens up to a bunch of different guys, depending on, like I said, depending on how guys vote Luka. How people vote Booker too. Like, even I think Booker's been a guy who's been eligible at both guard and forward. I go guard with him, but sometimes people are just weird.
And Davis too. You think of him. He's a center, I wanna say.
Yeah,
based off what he's played this year. But in the past he's played forward, and I'm sure there'll be some people who try to squeeze him in at forward because he has genuinely been one of the 15 best players in the league this year. You could argue that he's first team alongside of Jokic or Embiid. You might even have people trying to squeeze Davis, Jokic, and Embiid on first team at the end, which in a positionless world, you could. But in this structure, with the weird All-NBA system that they still have, it's tough. And, you know, Tatum benefited from that last year, making first team over Embiid, I think it was, which, you know, if you were stacking up their seasons last year, Embiid was better. So it's always that question of like, all right, this is how it's always been done. I can't even, they had Hakeem and Shaq or something like that. Like, those guys had to be on different teams. So you got to do it this time around too, but the league has changed obviously as well. So, you know, a guy like Brown benefits, guy like Tatum last year benefits. I think another year Tatum didn't get on, and that actually had a big benefit for the Celtics contract wise. Cause I think they saved like $25 million on his last deal, probably kept them out of the tax some years there. And now you're thinking of paying Brown $50 million, Tatum $50 million, and then everybody else on this roster. They're going to have to get ready to pay some serious tax for years to come here to keep this team together, which they will. You know, you're an NBA Finals contender. They're going to do that. They're paying a lot of tax this year. So that should be fine. I think they'll be thrilled to sign Brown to a Supermax and keep him and steal that up this summer if they can and go from there. So, no concerns on the Magic side of Supermax anytime soon. You're still talking rookie contracts and all that. I'm sure they're thrilled. The DeVosses are thrilled about that. You hit on Paolo. This team's starting to roll here with him and Bol and some of the guards healthy. As you, it's so funny. This team has so many guys, so many prospects. RJ Hampton's in the G League, right? Suggs is hurt. You're still waiting on Isaac to come back. We talked about him last time we were here, and here we are again. Where the hell is he? But this team's starting to figure some stuff out. Mo and Franz, pretty cool seeing what they're doing right now. I saw they're both averaging, like, I don't actually know off the top of my head, but they're both leading the league in points over this recent winning streak here. And they're starting to hit a little bit of a stride here. So I see what they're doing. Some guys have some injuries. Feels like they're going to sit them down and, you know, just roll with what they got. But what they got right now is starting to win a little bit. So you're wondering, they're close to that play-in line. Chicago, I think 11 wins is 11. And then you get the Heat and some teams there at that 10-9-ish spot. So they're there if they want to go on a little run right now. But this is still a rebuild. We actually talked about this after the game the other night. You got your Paolo, you got your prospects up and down the lineup, Bol, all these guards. So if they really wanted to go on a little playoff push here, I guess they could. And if you lose in the play-in round, you're still technically a lottery team with an outside chance at moving up. But this team feels like, just looking at it, one that probably needs one more dive in the lottery here. And this is a tough year with so many teams starting to tank. So I don't know, where do you fall on that if you're just looking at what this team wants to accomplish this year, or maybe how they feel about it?
Yeah, before I answer that, Al Horford was fined $25,000 for making unnecessary and excessive contact to the lower body of Orlando Magic center Mo Wagner. It was announced today. One more time.
All right. Yeah, I was wondering if he was going to get suspended for that one, but a fine probably makes more sense for what that was.
Yeah, 25K. To answer your question, you know, they are only 3.5 out from
10.
Only 3.5 out behind Toronto for who's at 10 right now. I mean, this is a team where I think they really just need to see what they have, right? In all of this, this winning streak's come without Wendell, it's come without Jalen, you know, two guys, you know, Wendell's figures to be your start, you know, your starting big man of the future or in the present. And then Jalen, you know, he was the number five pick last season. So he's a pretty integral, important part to what you want to figure out with this team. But they're rolling. I mean, I think I touched on a little bit earlier, like they got their guys, like they have the guys who are available, and they're just saying, we need to figure out what we have with the guys we have available. The guys are going to come back soon. Like Gary is going to come, I don't know, Gary, Wendell, and Chumar on this trip. They figure to come back, you know, relatively soon. RJ Hampton rejoined the team yesterday, got recalled from the G League, brought back up from the G League team after a stint down there. So they have guys coming back, but they just need to, they had however many games, 20-ish games of just lineup changes, and they just finally found some kind of stability or consistency, even missing 5 to 6 guys per night. But the guys they do have, they're saying, we're going to have a game plan for these guys. We're going to have our principles. We're going to implement that in that game plan. And let's just figure it out. And to the point is work. Like, Franz is a guy who I feel has been under-discussed in this conversation. In terms of the winning streak, like he's been
20 points per game in December.
Yeah, and honestly, I think he had a decent game when the Magic played the Celtics in October. He started out the season, you know, not shooting it well in terms of from beyond the arc, but ever since November, he's been on a tear. Franz has been on a tear the past 25 games. And you talk about Ball, we talk about Paolo, but if you ask me right now, if you ask me who has been the best player overall for the Magic this season, it's been Franz. And the way he just drops into the paint, the growth as a playmaker he's shown, the defense is there. He's showing to be a very complete player, and he has been a driver of winning. I know he didn't shoot well in that Friday game against the Celtics, but he even in that game, he had his moments. And throughout this winning streak, he's been huge. So you're starting to see certain guys step up in some certain moments. And I think Franz has been one of the bigger parts of that, one of the bigger parts of that.
Yeah, and last time we talked, we kicked around, all right, does he have more of a scoring ceiling? Is he going to be sort of this third man, glue guy part of this team's future? They need him to be that scorer right now, given all the lineup inconsistency you've talked about. And he's doing a good job fitting into that, which... something you want to see him be able to fit into different positions on a team, and looks like he's capable of being in different spots up and down a lineup, whether it's got to be that lead scorer. What's the most points he scored in a game this year now at this point?
It was 34 in the first game against the Raptors that they played in Orlando. What was that last year?
Yeah. So he's got that 30 pointer in his bag on a certain night, but he's not going to put up 40. You know, regularly and anything like that. But, you know, if your second, third guy can go off like that, that's pretty good. And again, you're starting to see the pieces come together here. I really like this team. They start off so slow, so injured. But if Paolo's that piece and Franz is, let's say, the third guy, the glue guy who can do a little bit of everything, step up scoring on a certain night, pass other nights, and then you just have all these different guys who look like they're going to be really good bench pieces into the future, whether that's Bol or Anthony or all these different guys you look at on this roster. If they just hit one more time in that draft, or I don't know, sign the right free agent, which probably isn't going to be the way they do it, but who knows? They're coming soon. You're in a good place down there, Kobe. I think this team, like, they are just a year or two away from starting to make some noise here. And you're already starting to see some signs around it right now, which is good. There's a lot of teams down at the bottom. I'd probably rank them even ahead of the Pistons now, who I had a lot of hope for, but are leveling out with this Cade injury. The Thunder, I think they're even a little bit ahead of the Thunder, as exciting as SGA is. Like, they just don't have all this other stuff around that one star that the Magic do right here. So if you look at all these tanking teams, I guess it makes sense that they're starting to creep up toward the play-in line a little bit.
It does. And kind of the last thing I want to say about Franz, before we get close on the team, since November 1st, 21.3 points, 4 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 50% shooting from the field, 37 point on threes, getting to the line 5 times, a little over 5 times a game. But he only has 15 field goal attempts. So if you think, you know, that starts to creep up a little bit more, he's going to start creeping into that, just consistently getting, you know, 23, 24 points a game. And it's just efficient too. Like, that's the base. None of it is like, isn't, you're rarely seeing just inefficient shooting from him. Yes, he did that on Friday, but he's been consistently efficient for a while now.
And we didn't even mention this when we talk about this play-in thing. They have the Bulls pick.
Yeah.
Bulls are sneaking in the lottery right now. And I know it's protected, so who knows? You actually don't want them to win the lottery. But you could make the playoffs and finish higher than the Bulls and have the Bulls go down the lottery and, you know, maybe be like a 10th-ish overall pick. So that helps. That helps a lot right now with the decision that they're going to have to make here.
Yeah, they're only two. So, yeah, it's interesting because they're only two games. So the Magic, in terms of like league-wide standings, they're fifth right now, and they're only two games behind the Bulls, who are seventh. So you kind of feel, and it's top four protected, I think. So I think you kind of feel like with the Bulls, like, all right, seven is good enough. Just stay there. Don't creep below us, because you do get worried. Like, they go like four down, you're like, wait a second, we thought we're trying to get your pick. And if one through four, we're not going to get it. But yeah, I mean, there's some potential for them to have two, not just lottery picks, but like two top 10 picks in this draft.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, so it will be. This is why I think for the Magic, it's less looking at it. So, like, we need to get down to the bottom as quickly as possible, because all these other things, you have two picks, and you really just need to see, like, you need to see what you have in your roster already. Like, because they're going to have to, you mentioned, obviously, the Celtics are making their decisions in terms of Brown, Tatum, like, and they're in different stratosphere decisions. The Magic are already having to start making their difficult decisions in terms of, all right, of all the young guys that they have, of all the guys who could make, you know, these nice bench pieces, who's going to stay? You can't keep them all. You can't keep all these guards. You have to figure out your front court logjam, you know, because even with all this, even that front court you saw on Friday is missing Chuma and J.I. and Wendell Carter Jr. And some people's, and, you know, in a lot of ways, that could be a starting group. That could be a key to your bench unit or something along those lines. And you're missing three key guys who you've invested a lot of time in. So they need to figure out the log jams that they have, like I said, especially in guard and in the front, their point guard, two guard situation, and especially like that power forward center situation. So that's why for them, yes, you think about the draft, you think about the lottery picks, but they need to figure out what they have in-house before they really start to focus too much on the outside.
Yeah, and man, I don't know if I was talking to you about it, but back there in that Donovan Mitchell trade saga there with Utah, Cleveland comes out of nowhere and gets him. New York was obviously the team everyone's looking at, and you even look at some of the things New York's doing over the last week or two here, and you're like, man, if they had Mitchell, you're really talking about something there in New York. I said back at the time, the Magic should have been a team that took a little bit of a look there because of all these pieces that you talk about that you're going to have to make decisions on here. Probably prime for a consolidation trade a little bit, an opportunity to acquire a guy who's on a long-term deal so you don't have to worry about him leaving Orlando immediately. And then obviously the Magic have all their picks plus the Chicago pick. I wonder what they could have done there, because you look at this mix right now and some of the signs they're showing, you keep Paolo, you keep Franz, you keep, I think, your core guys here, probably like Markel Fultz or whoever else. You're giving up a bunch of guys, but it's mostly picks-based. I don't know if you could have actually beat like Markkanen and all that, but because that was a pretty good trade for the Jazz looking back on it. But I don't know. Like, there might have been an opportunity there for the Magic to get a little aggressive and accelerate this rebuild there. And you think of this roster right now with Mitchell in the mix, they're not the Cavs. I mean, the Cavs are the Cavs right now because of Mobley and Allen and all these other pieces that Mitchell joined. But you're starting to see Mitchell really was a guy who could propel a team to new heights. And that's the kind of deal that the Magic are going to have to look for going forward, right? It's disgruntled star, long-term deal, who fits in with this mix of young guys and can raise them to a new level as a playmaker and scorer and all that.
Yeah, at a certain point, they're going to have to, if they're not already, start looking at those kind of deals, because I think this all past offseason was the one where, especially after the season they were coming off of, was they probably felt like they didn't get a great feel for what they already had, because, you know, Markel came back so late. Jalen Suggs only played 48 games. J.I. obviously didn't play at all. You saw what Franz did last year, you know, being what all rookie first team, but now you're thinking, then you saw zero basket run. You're thinking, well, how is he going to build off of this? What more can he do? So I think this past offseason was, let's run this back and see, like, let's get as much of a clear picture we can before we really have to start making some of these more difficult long-term based decisions, right? In terms of who's staying and who's going. And that's a difficult thing to do because it's not every summer a Donovan Mitchell is going to be available. And I'm going to be honest, like, Donovan Mitchell's played tremendous this season. He's a guy who, when you talk about MVP candidates, I think the ESPN's the straw poll came out on Friday, something along those lines. Like, Donovan Mitchell was not in the top five. I think he was, I'm looking pulled it right now. He was 11. That just shows how
that great. That feels low, though. Yeah, higher than that, I think.
That feels low, but even when I'm looking at the other names, I'm thinking this league's in a great place because you can argue he could be anywhere from – I didn't put him in my top five. But he could be anywhere from six to wherever the end of the list is.
But I'm telling you, they can make finals. I've said that from the start this year. Do not be surprised if Cleveland comes out of the East.
And even with him, you do wonder just how would it look. You know, Cleveland was ready for that. Like, Cleveland, after the season Cleveland had last year, they were ready for that kind of move in terms of where they're at, not just in terms of their direction, but where they were at in their franchise. In terms of,
but just think, they were what, 10 or 9-ish? Yeah, like we said, the Magic could be 9, 10-ish this year if they go in the right direction here.
Yeah, well, I think Cleveland, they finished it's also weird because Cleveland, I think they finished last season 44-38. But a lot of that was because Allen
and Will
got hurt. Like, they started to have those injuries stack up for the end of the season because they were at one point, they were as high as 3. And then the guys started to go out and it was just hard to sustain. And then they dropped to 8.
Good point. Yep.
Playing. So they were they didn't make the playoffs.
They lost the play-in to Brooklyn.
They lost.
And then Atlanta, right.
They lost both play-ins. So they were better than their, I think they were better than their record showed, and they were better than a non-playoff team. Which you think is Orlando this last year's Cleveland? Probably it's hard to say that when they're 10-20 right now, but you can see like similar trajectories of like maybe we can be that next upcoming, the 2023-2024, and that can be our time, or maybe it's this summer will be the time to make that kind of consolidation move. But right now, they're very much just we need to figure out what's here, and it's hard to sometimes do when you don't. What's here is not like again, we go back to who they're missing. They're missing Jalen Suggs, Gary Harris, Chuma, J.I., and Wendell. To me, that's. That's their five of the six best defenders, and that's a unit right there. Like that's a rotation.
Yeah, and you're gonna see all those guys again at 3 as we record this live on Sunday. Here we'll be heading over the arena shortly. Of course, here at Dome Theory, we are brought to you by many great sponsors. Calm.com/garden gets you 40% off a premium subscription when you head over there. Sleep sounds, meditation, yoga, anything you need to relax. It's on the Calm app. 40% off is a great deal. That's calm.com/garden. AthleticGreens.com/Garn gets you a year's supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs when you head over there. Whole food sourced ingredients, powder, put in your water. It's vitamins, minerals, adaptogens, probiotics, and more, as well as it's around here somewhere. Rocket Money, RocketMoney.com/Garden. You want the Garden one to save potentially hundreds on unused subscriptions. Tells you what you have, what you don't need, what's going in and out of your account each month. A great tool for your money management over there, rocketmoney.com/garden. He is Kobe Price. You can follow him on Twitter at @KHOBI_Price. Orlando Sentinel wrote about Mo Wagner after last game, who's starting to show some things for the Magic here after missing the start of this year. And he'll be writing again off Celtics Magic, and we'll have you covered on post game. Love the early start today after a long West Coast stretch and late night on Friday. So this is going to be good. I think these two teams are going to battle again here. Brown's going to be at the point of attack, which I love seeing because he's had a tremendous year. And I think sometimes it's good to just get him the ball and see him rock. Magic trying to keep their win streak going to 6 potentially today if they win, which mm-hmm. is good, which is, yeah, I think people will start paying attention if they sweep the Celtics in a mini series here. And Al Horford's back. Rob back. Can't wait to see Rob. Our guy Adam Taylor here. He's on Brooklyn. I mean, Britain. Not Brooklyn, Britain. So he's going to get to watch the game here. Yeah, good stuff. Thanks, Kobe. Always great talking to you.
Likewise. Appreciate having me on.
Everybody go read him. Check him out on Twitter if you want some Magic coverage. And we'll be back later this week here on Dome Theory. Subscribe, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and more. That's our show for today. See you over at TD Garden in a little bit. And have a good afternoon, everybody.